Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's The Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry-Callis. It's The Wake Up Show. The Wake Up Show presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. You can apply online at 84lumber.com. Pirates lost yesterday 14-1. Mitch Keller, the losing pitcher in that game. And well, the Pirates really let it off the rails in the 5th, 6th, and 7th. The Brewers getting 3 runs in each of those innings to pull away. Well, that was after they scored 2 and 3 in the first 2 innings. Not a great game. No reason to play a sad highlight for you. We're gonna move on. We're going to do some quick Pirate talk, and then I want to talk about the Steelers a little bit because I did some thinking, which sometimes it's dangerous when I think a little bit too much, but I think I got a point here with the Steelers take. We'll get to that here in a minute. But, yeah, the Pirates, 14-1 loss. Mitch Keller, now 9-8 on the season. So he struggles in another start. The Brewers scored 5 runs in the first 2 innings of that game, so not great. Big story, though, is that Henry Davis got into the game. Henry Davis got the catch for an inning, but that's still some experience, I guess if you want to call it that. But Henry Davis gets the catch, and that might be the only bright spot of the game. The Pirates lost 14-1. Pirates scored first, too. They got a run in the first inning. But then the Brewers scored 2. And then 3, they were up 5-1, and then they put it away in the middle innings of the game to secure a win. So let me see, I'm trying to find the box score too. I want to get Mitch Keller's final totals, because, I mean, it's scary. It's a little bit scary now with Mitch Keller. Here we go, 5 innings, 8 earned runs given up on 9 hits. Okay, not great. Walk 3, that's not terrible. Struck out 5, I mean, that's fine if you don't give up 8 earned runs. So, yeah, of the 14 runs the Brewers scored, Mitch Keller gave up 8 earned runs. So, not a great one. I guess it does pose the question, does he still deserve a contract? Jason Mackey, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, said this week that it would make sense for the two to strike a deal. Mitch Keller, though, I mean, he got overworked in May, I guess. Well, not necessarily overworked, but he was the savior of May. Remember, they would have had a heck of a long losing streak had he not pitched in some of those games when the Pirates were struggling in May. Like, he was the bright spot. Now that May's over, the Pirates are doing a little bit better collectively. They got out of June struggling. July was a little bit better. They came out of July with a winning series. The winning series to start this month, right? They beat the Phillies in 2 games over the weekend. And, okay, then they split a set with the Tigers, and now to start this Brewers series, they lose by 13. It's a 4-game series, so it's going to last throughout the weekend. The Pirates are notoriously bad when playing in Milwaukee. I mean, that has been known for years. The Pirates struggle to play in Milwaukee at American Family Field. So that's really all there is to say about that. I mean, the Pirates, this is not a series really to look forward to. As you follow the Pirates, a 4-game series in Milwaukee, just not a great one to look at. Not a great one to look forward to. I mean, and yesterday was just the beginning. Perhaps we could be pleasantly surprised, but yeah. Not looking great. How about the Pirates still ahead of the Cardinals, too, in the division, 1 game over. Pirates are 48-60, the Cardinals are 48-62, and for the first time in about 30 years, the Cardinals and the Yankees trailing in their divisions. They're in last place in each of their divisions. That hasn't happened in a while, these two teams being regarded highly and having consistently good baseball teams, and just something of note. Although the Yankees, a little bit more impressive, the Yankees are 57-52, and they're last in their division, 10 games back of the first place Baltimore Orioles, 67-42, and the Rays have fallen off a bit. They're still 66-45. They have not squandered their historically good start, like the Pirates did. So, yeah. But yeah, the Cardinals, a much more representative last-place team at 48-62, while the Yankees are just victims of an unfortunately good division. Or maybe they're not victims. I don't know how you view the Yankees. Maybe you don't like the Yankees because they've already got 27 World Series championships. They don't need any more. That's fair. All right, enough about baseball. Let's talk a little bit about football. And if you want to call in, talk about the Steelers, talk about the Pirates, talk about anything. Or how about Kyle Dubas? It was announced yesterday that he is going to act as the general manager for this season, as well as fulfilling his roles as the president of hockey operations. So if you want to talk about that, that's not too surprising of news. They just made it official yesterday. Reports came out where that became official. So, yeah, if you want to talk about that, you can at 412-928-9370. Talk about the Pirates. Talk about the Steelers. Give me a call, 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on X at callus_33. That's callus_33. I'm having a problem, though, reading your tweets, and it's not necessarily because the technology isn't working. Just sometimes I'm scrolling through a web browser or I'm scrolling through my phone, and I'm looking for the little blue bird, and little blue bird isn't there anymore. So, yeah, I'm not used to the X logo yet. If anybody knows, and I'm too lazy to look this up, but if anybody knows why Elon Musk decided on the letter X, call me and explain that to me as well. I don't get it. I think he's just trying to create some public relations ploys, if I had to guess. It's changing a bunch of things, makes people talk about them and complain about them. And here's me complaining about it right now. Twitter, now X. And so, yeah, okay, you can't hit me up on Twitter anymore. Hit me up on X at callus_33 if you want to make some comments about the Pirates, Penguins, or Steelers. And if I find them intriguing enough, or if you have a question, I'll read them on the air. And you can call still, too. That number hasn't changed, and the name of the fan hotline has not changed, 412-928-9370. Let's talk. So I had a theory, a bit of a point, just kind of thinking about Kenny Pickett, thinking about some of your comments, because on this show I try to set the foundation of the day. On this show I try to wake you up into the world of sports. So I'm not a hot take guy so much. I just like to give my thoughts and feelings on things that happen, much like the Pirate games as they happen, as the Pirates win and lose and go throughout the season. That'll be the same thing, too, when the Steelers season comes up week to week, just talking about how they do and you know what to expect moving forward week to week. That's what I like to do. I'm not so much of a hot take guy. So when you call in and when you tweet at me, when you bring up good points and when you bring up logical points, I'll typically respond to them and change my opinion a little bit based on what you guys think. Or I'll explain or I'll bring up points based on what you guys think. Because, again, I like to start the day just, you know, giving information and giving all these viewpoints for you to think about before the main guys go in and talk about, you know, and give their hard takes and give their perspectives. But I like this show, and I like to give you the opportunity to speak, and then I take your opinions and I go accordingly. And you guys were talking about Kenny Pickett last week when I was on the air, and Kenny Pickett, how good he's going to do, how good is he? Was he worth being drafted first overall? Is he going to save the Steelers? And we got some points. Also, he was ranked by one national media outlet as the 28th best quarterback of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Right? So, in thinking of all of that, you know, you call in, some people say, no, Kenny Pickett's being treated unfairly. Some of you say, no, he's being treated very fairly. No, he's not going to, you know, we can't just rush to call him good. He might not be good, and I don't think he's going to be good. He's not worth it. So back and forth, everybody talks, everybody calls in, everybody seems to have an opinion on Kenny Pickett, and so I'm thinking about it, because I don't see a problem so much with either opinion. I think that Kenny Pickett still has a lot to prove before we anoint him as this wonderful quarterback, but I also do believe that he took several strides last season that would indicate that there is some potential for him to do well. So I'm still in the middle of this, and I was thinking about it. And then I was also thinking about, because it's a hot topic, who's going to win the AFC North? Is the AFC North the most competitive division in football? And I got those questions, and I'm thinking about that. You know, the AFC North is one of the most competitive divisions in football, with Deshaun Watson's potential as it relates to him and the Cleveland Browns. Lamar Jackson's on a big contract. Joe Burrow, you know, if he's not hurt for too long, which he doesn't anticipate that he will be. He could lead the Bengals to have some success, and then the Steelers, with all of their signings and draftings, they're looking hot. But what makes the Steelers good, and I said, and a lot of people say this too, so I've heard, and that's what I think many, what draws many of you to react to this is all the mainstream media people saying that Kenny Pickett is going to be the savior of the Steelers, and he's going to be the one that have to lead them to the AFC North Championship if they're going to do well. That's kind of a fair point, but I'll say this as well, as I think about it and as I understand it and as I kind of go through thinking about this topic, the Steelers as a team, I don't think are going to go places just because Kenny Pickett does well. So here's my middle ground, and here's me thinking about it, and that's my opinion. I don't think it's going to be Kenny Pickett so much alone carrying the Steelers to success. I think the Steelers have enough weapons now and have developed enough now. They've seemed to have drafted well. They've got talented players on the offensive side of the ball. I think that the Steelers will be successful because Kenny Pickett takes strides, but Kenny Pickett not necessarily going to be the Hall of Fame quarterback this year. Nobody's anticipating that, and I'm not going to say that here on the air, but I think that the Steelers are going to be more successful this year, not just because Kenny Pickett plays well or not because Kenny Pickett's going to turn into a Hall of Fame quarterback all of a sudden. I think that it's going to take the entire team for the Steelers to do well, and I think the Steelers are going to do well because of all the talent they have on the team. George Pickens, I believe, is going to break out as a wide receiver. I think having the 1-2 punch of Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren is going to be very important. I think that Kenny Pickett taking strides as a quarterback and just progressing and just continuing to get better throughout the year is going to help them succeed. I think that a stronger offensive line is going to help them succeed, led by some free agent signings and first overall pick Broderick Jones. So that's where I am right now on that debate. And several of you called in passionately last week and you talked about, Kenny Pickett at length and, how well he could do or how well he could not do, or he still has a lot to prove, or, the end of last year showed his potential. I just think that there's more to it than just that. I think it's more rounded over than just that. And, I mean, that's the opinion I'm taking, thinking about it, over and over, because I see both sides of the argument. Kenny Pickett still has a lot to prove, but I think Kenny Pickett has developed in the second half of last year after getting that experience. I think that if we have an experienced Kenny Pickett start last season, it's possible that maybe the Steelers make the playoffs and win one or two more games with an experienced Kenny Pickett. But then again, it's going to take more than just Pickett, I think, to win games. Now, if they go and they win the Super Bowl, Kenny Pickett's going to have to make some plays. In that case, if they were to go on and win the Super Bowl. But just for the sake of making the playoffs and maybe winning a playoff game, there's a lot of pieces to this Steelers team that exists now that could help them make the playoffs. It can't just be the quarterback. The quarterback can win you games in many scenarios, but a well-rounded team, I also think, can a well-rounded team makes a team and makes a team that's a formidable opponent. All the eyes are going to be on Kenny Pickett this year and his development, because that's just what we naturally do as quarterback or as fans, is to watch quarterbacks and see how they do and how they make plays. But internally, for a team to be successful, it's got to be a team game. The line has to block. The receivers have to get open and block in some instances. The running backs have to get into open space. They've got to block in certain instances. there's so many aspects to the game that it's going to take more than Pickett for the Steelers to win, and it seems right now like the Steelers have the pieces to do that. Dave from Delmont on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, the only way the Steelers make the playoffs is if the players just play out of their minds. I think they have a good team that's been put together. But if you think that Mike Tomlin and Canada are going to outcoach the Bengals, Buffalo, or Kansas City, you're crazy. It's going to be up to the players to have to overcome the bad coaching on this team. And that's the only way they're going to go anywhere. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Dave from Delmont. Thank you for the call. That's a fair point. The Steelers will have to overcome bad coaching. Yeah, I'm still not thrilled about Matt Canada being the offensive coordinator, but he's not getting fired anytime soon. So we as fans, I think the only option as fans is for us to just eat it at this point. Matt Canada is the offensive coordinator, so eat it. Have blind faith because you don't have a choice. Clamoring for him to get fired is not going to work. The Steelers don't fire coaches in the middle of seasons. That's been proven year in and year out. They usually just let contracts expire, and his contract will expire at the end of this season. So this is very much a prove-it year for Matt Canada, which might mean that he stops playing it safe and he throws everything at the wall. Everything into the playbook. Might bring out the best in him. Who knows? Or we might find out that he's terrible and the Steelers will finally move on from him. Now, I already think he's terrible, but again, this is the blind optimism speaking. Because we don't have a choice, he can't be fired. He's got to prove it this year. Matt Canada does. So, Dave from Delmont with the call saying that the Steelers will have to overcome bad coaching to win. Fair point. I'm not going to argue that. That's fair. They might have to. And that's also a factor in this is that the coaches still have to call plays and set the offenses up for success. I think the Steelers, though, my opinion, though, in this case, is that I think the Steelers have enough talent on offense to be able to put up points. I think that they've got more offensive talent that they had than they have had in previous years to win more football games because they put up more points than they have in years past. That's my opinion on that. And again, I think that as we scrutinize Kenny Pickett, that's fine. But I think that as we look forward to this season, look at all the offensive improvements that the Steelers have made in free agency and in the draft. Darnell Washington, another one. Could very well be a compliment to Pat Freiermuth at the tight end position. So there's so many things to look forward to in the Steelers' offense right now than just Kenny Pickett. Like, Kenny Pickett's success will determine a good chunk of the success of the offense, but the entire offense has the ability to make plays. The entire offense seems right now to be set up for success. Omar Khan has pieced together a quality offense for the Steelers. So, as a middle ground to what everybody's been talking about as it relates to Kenny Pickett, sure, he could be good, he could be bad, he hasn't proven enough yet, or the end of last season was enough for you to have faith in this young quarterback. Whatever the case may be, I think it's more than just Kenny Pickett, though, that's gonna help this offense succeed. It's got to be good play calls, setting the offense up for success, and it's got to be the rest of the offensive talent coming together and doing what they need to do and executing the plays they need to make so that Kenny Pickett can succeed, they can succeed, and the entire offense can succeed as a result. But that's what it's going to be. And again, I'm very much taking the middle ground on this. I don't have a hard opinion on Kenny Pickett because I see both sides of it. But for the Steelers to succeed, it's going to take more than just Pickett, and I think the rest of the offense has the ability to make this Steelers team a good team moving forward and through this season, and I think they're going to make the playoffs as a result of it. Which leads me to my next point I'm going to talk about when I come back from this break. But is the AFC North the best division? You already know who I think is going to win the division. I think it's the Bengals, and I think the Steelers are going to finish third, but they're going to make the playoffs closely behind the Baltimore Ravens. That's my prediction. But is the AFC North actually the most competitive division in the National Football League? When I come back, we'll discuss. This is the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and it's the Fan Early Morning Show. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer is here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax. You can check them out online as well. SunChevy.com. Today, high of 85, low of 66. It's partly cloudy now, but it's going to be clear throughout most of the day today. And then clouds are rolling again toward the evening time. And then tomorrow, high of 84, low of 62, partly cloudy skies expected. It's also looking clear. Partly cloudy and clear throughout the weekend with temperatures in the mid-80s, highs in the mid-80s. That's Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And talking football this morning because the Pirates lost yesterday 14-1. So no need to dive into that too deeply. Mitch Keller's struggling. It's worrisome. Oh, my gosh, let's panic. But let's not panic, right, because football season's right around the corner. So maybe let's not panic. You know, the Pirates are in what's hopefully the ending point of their rebuild. And we can only hope. But that series against Milwaukee, and, I mean, they're playing in Milwaukee, so we know how the Pirates play when they play the Brewers in Milwaukee. It hasn't really been – haven't really been great results in Milwaukee for the Pirates over the last few seasons. So not going to dive too deeply into them. I mean, that one's a pretty straightforward open-and-shut case, 14-1 final. So we'll move on, talk about football a bit. I talked about Kenny Pickett in last segment, talking about, you know, how he's not going to be the only one that helps the Steelers move on to more success and making the playoffs. It's going to take the entire offense, which I think is much, much stronger than it has been in many years. So with that being said, we also, I move on, and I want to talk about the most competitive divisions in the NFL, and if the AFC North is actually the most competitive division in football, because, I mean, there's an argument amongst football fans as to which one is. And there is a case to be made for a few of them throughout the league, especially in the AFC. Let's start with the NFC here because, well, I mean, they are clearly the weaker of the conferences. The AFC is a nightmare this season for many of the teams in it because there's just so much talent everywhere now. We'll start in the NFC, the NFC East, the Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Commanders. Well, the Commanders are a bit uncertain. The Giants, they just signed Daniel Jones. So, you know, that's might be fine. I don't know. I still don't think he deserved his contract, and I've said that before. So we'll see how they do. The Eagles, very strong, undoubtedly strong, the favorites to win that division. The Cowboys were 12-5 last season, but they don't have Ezekiel Elliott on the roster anymore. He's not playing running back for them. Can Dak Prescott pull them away? I don't think so. So I say the Eagles are a strong favorite in that division with the other three very much up in the air and their talent kind of lacking, I would say. All right, the NFC North, the Vikings with Kirk Cousins at the helm. They went 13-4 last year and got bounced early in the playoffs. The Detroit Lions, the Lions have something going for them. They definitely are on an upswing. They've got a lot of promise from last season. The Vikings may take a step back. I might say I don't know if they can reach a 13-win season again. The Packers, too many question marks, and the Bears, they're still trying to put it together and rebuild. I don't know if Justin Fields can pull them out just by himself. So the NFC North, kind of weak. Yeah, the NFC South, Buccaneers, Panthers, Saints, Falcons. Saints have Derek Carr on the roster now, so maybe something there, but they're still all kind of up in the air. And then the NFC West, 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals. Rams and Cardinals, very bad. I mean, the Rams got their Super Bowl championship, and then they're just kind of on a downswing now. The Seahawks could do well. The 49ers are also, you know, they've got Brock Purdy. It seems like he's going to come back from injury in time for the season to start. So that's really a 49ers-Seahawks race. Geno Smith will have to perform like his contract states, though. I mean, he'll have to perform up to the expectations of his contract, I think, for the Seahawks to do well. But I think he was paid too early as well. He's like a Daniel Jones to me. Just because you had 1 year doesn't mean you deserve a contract in the hundreds of millions of dollars range. So, but the Rams and Cardinals, though, they've got next to no chance to do anything this season, I would say, especially based on their performances last season, and they haven't really done too much to bolster themselves. So it's a two-team race in the NFC West. The NFC South is up in the air, but not because those teams are good. No team last season in the NFC South finished above 500. That is awesome as well. But, yeah, so they're up in the air, but for the wrong reasons in the NFC South. The NFC North, the Lions, kind of a favorite in that one. The Packers and Bears definitely on a downswing, with the Packers not having Aaron Rodgers on the team anymore. And then the NFC East, Eagles all the way with the other three teams. Again, not definitive, not confident in any of those. Now to the AFC, which is interesting. Let's start in the AFC West. Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos. Russell Wilson could be on the upswing this year, but he also might not be. Who knows? They're very much a mystery, but for the wrong reasons, because they could not perform with Russell Wilson at the helm last season. The Las Vegas Raiders now have Jimmy G on the roster, Jimmy Garoppolo, so they might do well. That's still to be seen. And then you have the Chargers and the Chiefs, so those two are the favorites in the division. Doran Dickerson made a prediction recently that said the Chargers would win the AFC West this season, so a bold prediction there. But that's a division that's a little closer to being tough, because the Raiders, if Jimmy Garoppolo plays well, they could make a run. They could make a playoff push. The Broncos have to get definitively better, though, and they're kind of the weak point there that's kind of pulling that division down from being competitive, because they have struggled mightily recently. Struggled last season, and even though they had Russell Wilson. Even though they had Russell Wilson on the roster, they still didn't play well. They won 5 games. So the AFC West competitive, minus the Broncos. In the AFC South, the Jaguars, Titans, Colts, and Texans. Well, the Colts and Texans, not great, so that kind of takes them out of the running immediately. The Titans could get better, and the Jaguars, they very well might get better. Winning a playoff game last season, they've got some high upside. And the Jaguars are the favorites to win the division this season. So maybe the AFC West, not so much the AFC South. Now the big argument is with the AFC East and competing with the AFC North is the NFL's most competitive division. You got the Bills, Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Jets. The Jets finished last season with 7 wins, but that's before they acquired much talent, including a new quarterback and Aaron Rodgers, and they're a heavy favorite to win the division this season. The Buffalo Bills, still kind of a favorite. Josh Allen, though, might be on a slide, so they've got some competition this year. They're not going to win just because of how they've been winning in years past. They're going to have to really pull something together and not rely on Josh Allen running around with the football at the quarterback position to be able to do well. The Dolphins, if Tua Tagovailoa stays healthy, the rest of their pieces could come together. They made a good run last season, and they could get better from here. And then the New England Patriots, they're really only competitive, I would say, just because of the reputation of Bill Belichick. But if they don't do well this season, I think Bill Belichick's job is going to come into question, and they might be looking for a change. Because without Tom Brady, the Patriots have been rather average. They haven't been anything super special, and they haven't gotten anywhere near a Super Bowl since Tom Brady's departure. So I think the Patriots are the weak link in the AFC East. But again, they're considered strong just because of their reputation with Bill Belichick and his ability to just magically pull out wins based on strategy. But also, he had Tom Brady a quarterback in years past, and now he doesn't. So that's the big kicker there. But those four teams, if you count the reputation of the Patriots, those four teams are pretty good. But then you compare them to the AFC North. You got the Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, Browns. The Browns still have a question mark with their quarterback situation, but based on Deshaun Watson's previous reputation, when he was good with the Texans and before these accusations came to light and went to court over it or settled over it, you know, Watson was a good quarterback. The Steelers, Kenny Pickett, and a bunch of other talent around them, they have high upside, it seems, as long as Pickett can perform and the rest of the offense can mesh together to be elite. You got the Ravens with Lamar Jackson at the head, and then Joe Burrow, when he comes back from his injury, which should be early in the season, he's already established how much of a good quarterback he is for the Bengals. So I guess it's kind of the same argument with the Patriots and the Browns, where their reputation precedes them, or in this case, the quarterback of the Browns, Deshaun Watson, his reputation precedes him, that he could be a good quarterback, but he would still have to perform. He'd still have to perform well, and that's really the big question mark for them. But other than that, I mean, those four teams, strong. The Steelers do have some things to prove as well, but I think that with all the talent they acquired, that's more of why they are favored, I think, among, you know, optimistic fans. And then, you know, the Ravens and the Bengals, they have reputations as well from before, where Lamar Jackson, former MVP, he's played well when he's been healthy. That's a big thing too, but he just signed his big contract. That might motivate him to do better. And then, of course, the Bengals winning the division last year and having Joe Burrow, that is important. So I do think it is between the two divisions in the AFC North and the AFC East where you can make a case for which division is the best in football. And I see the side of you that might take the AFC East, but I still think the AFC North is, you know, really dissecting it now, I do think the AFC North still, I'm going to hold that true, that the AFC North is the most competitive division in the National Football League.